Listen, my people,
and I will speak. Israel, I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God. I do not accuse you because of your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are always before me. I will not accept a calf from your stalls, nor goats from your pens, for all the wild animals of the forest are mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the whole world is mine, and all that is in it. Do you think I would eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and make good your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall honor me. The second reading is from Romans chapter 4. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be their heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "It was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners. While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. Jesus turned and seeing her said, Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl got up, and report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. And I invite the children to come forward.
Well, good morning.
Hi, hi.
Y'all like baseball?
Yes.
Holden does now more, I think, than he did before Friday night. Where did we go, Cameron and Holden, on Friday evening?
To a lefties game. Port Angeles.
To Port Angeles to watch the lefties game. That was fun. And what was something that you really wanted, especially when you saw it? Yeah. Yeah, I'd really like to see that too, but eight times out of nine, it seems not to happen so far this year. What did you see go bounding off into the parking lot that you wanted?
A ball.
You wanted a foul ball. Cameron, what are the odds of getting a foul ball?
Well, the odds of catching any ball whatsoever is 1 in 650,000.
I think you're underestimating it a bit. But you're saying there is a chance, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Have any of you ever gotten a ball in a game?
I've seen people catch a home run like 2 out of 10 times.
Yeah. So you've seen people catch home run balls? Those are pretty special because they don't happen nearly as much as foul balls.
I know. So
Cambridge
is not as proud as Huntington.
Cambridge is not as correct as
Huntington.
Catching
a ball in general, any ball, even if it isn't a foul ball or a home run ball, is 1 in 650,000.
But there's not usually 650,000 people at the game. You're lucky if there's a tenth of that. Most of the stadiums aren't that.
But what if it flies over the walls or stays inbound?
In play?
Did he get the ball? Did he run out into the park?
He did not get the ball, and that's where we're going with this.
There's also a chance that if, like, they were using wooden bats and they hit the ball and it didn't crack in half, there's a chance that it would fling up and...
Yeah, we talked about broken bat players and how those can still be hits. Yeah, we had a lot of conversation that night. But did you get a ball? No,
people in a game, there's like 25 people usually in a game that can't get a ball, because there's all kinds of foul balls, and then the people can
just... Yeah, there could be 25 people who get foul balls in a game, I think, easy. Yeah, some batters will hit like 8 on a single at bat.
There's this one kid that has a foul ball, a lot of times, even if it like doesn't get out, there's...
will walk up, grab it, and then throw it over so somebody can have it.
Okay, well, getting beyond some of the finer points of baseball, because I'm talking about baseball in my adult sermon, too, and these poor people are going to hear about way too much baseball today.
Also,
so we did not get a ball to take home, you can talk about it later, okay, but did you have a good time? And I say that you left, I think, liking baseball even more than you did before. How come, Cameron? Why did you get more into baseball as the night went on?
Because in one inning, they scored 2 runs.
In one inning, they went down from 3-1, they tied it up, they went into extra innings, there was all kinds of excitement. Well, and then it rained, and they called the game off because they were saying you could go back to Angeles. But I love baseball. I grew up going to baseball games with my grandma. We always go to the opening night, the first night of the season. So we're starting a little tradition in our family where we go to the opening night of the Lefties. You might really have something really important you want to say. Yeah?
Well,
I
think Cameron should learn something about if it's not a foul ball or a home run. What if one day he
we will have to discuss the final points of those odds later. Maybe even during your Sunday school party, which is about to come up. And so we may not have taken away something physical like a ball from that game, but we went away with a greater passion for the game and greater enjoyment. Now, we heard a story this morning where a woman wanted maybe something to take away. She figured if she touched the fringe of Jesus' cloak, she would be healed. And she was. Now, I'm sure she would have been happy to take away a piece of that cloak, but she knew that she couldn't. And yet, just for that brief little fleeting moment where she had it, that was enough. That was enough to help build her faith, and could she take her faith with her after the game?
Yes.
Just as you can take your newfound passion for the game with you home after the game. Do you have one final statement, sir?
Yes. Also, one of the foul balls, somebody was just finally got some nachos, because they were waiting in line for the nachos, and then when they were walking, the foul ball just hit.
Supposedly a foul ball knocked over some nachos. I saw some nachos slip out of somebody's hand, and I saw some foul balls. I didn't see them together, but you know, maybe I missed that.
Nachos.
Sounds pretty cool. You can see video of that online and stuff. Yeah. Also, we have that big Sunday school party coming up, and also my
microphone. I'm sorry.
You took a hot dog in your stomach, but you can't hold on to the back. You know what I'm talking about.
I took a water bottle.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope you all get to enjoy a baseball game or something fun that you are passionate about this summer as school is about to go out. And before I dismiss you to that Sunday school party, let us pray. God, you love us. You allow us to do fun things, and we don't always get to take away a memento, something we can hold on to, but we do take away memories, and we take away newfound love for things we might not have ever experienced before, or things that we love a little, and now we may love a lot. Bless these children as they go to enjoy their Sunday school finale party, and bless them in their activities all summer long as school wraps up this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I slapped and hit him in his car.
I don't know what all you've learned in your time here, Agata, but apparently you've learned you can bribe American children successfully with popcorn, and that is an important lesson.
Us too.
Give God thanks for the victory. And this sounds as if it should be some triumphant proclamation about a great battle between good and evil, but it's more often professed at the conclusion of a hard-fought clash between opposing athletes. Now, I'm not sure it's usually intended that way, but the MVP who scored the winning goal or basket or touchdown or home run or whatever is often apt to credit God, however they might comprehend the divine, and thank them for helping them beat the other team. And it's about the most polarizing thing that they can do, at least before kneeling at national anthems became a thing. Many will cheer the public profession of faith, at least if it's a faith that matches their own. Many others will roll their eyes so far in the back of their head it'll be loud enough you can hear it from 50 feet away. Now I tend more toward the latter camp. Being asked to pray for the outcome of a big game is something of an occupational hazard, for which I have developed a fairly standard response. I will pray for a clean game without serious injury, and for everyone involved to play to the full potential of their ability. Beyond that, I'll usually root for a side, but I suspect God may find it a tad insulting that we would think the Almighty gives a rip about the Stanley Cup or the Apple Cup, even if the latter is about as close to a battle of good versus evil as one might find on the fields of play. Now, I don't expect divine intervention in my team's favor, even though that's often what it would take for them to win, as we heard about the Port Angeles Lefties. I've seen enough of the Cougars and the Mariners into a third decade now to get wise to these things, as well as not to mention a formative decade of futility in my youth that was the 1990 Seahawks. Kids these days in the Seattle area don't know how good they have it, relatively speaking. And just a few short years ago during an NBA Finals, we learned that contrary to what a legion of sports columnists had come to believe and to quip, God doesn't even hate Cleveland. Probably. Buffalo, on the other hand. The great sport philosopher Jerry Seinfeld observed more than 30 years ago that we root for laundry. Doesn't matter who's wearing our team's colors this year, they're ours. And we want the best for them because we want the best for us, for our largely unearned pride. On the other hand, isn't it the right thing to do? To praise God because one does not do great things entirely on their own? To see one's success as a result of the gifts that God gives them, made manifest when the spotlight is turned on and all eyes are cast upon them. In the middle of a whole lot of commotion of being on the way to something bigger, some more important task, Matthew presents us with God encountered by a woman, rooting for laundry. A dozen years of as yet incurable bleeding with all the attending trouble, pain, trauma, stigmatization, and she's got one shot, and she takes it. If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. And with just a fleeting grasp of that cloth, she is healed and affirmed by the words of Jesus, "Your faith has made you well." This isn't the only time that this occurs in the Gospels. In fact, it becomes a pretty familiar refrain. It presents a challenge, I'm afraid, to Lutheran theology. If this faith in God is our own work, if we must will ourselves to reach out and touch God, then yeah, isn't it more about our own striving than about God? We do or we don't, and God judges whether our efforts are sufficient or not for God to notice and to care and to expend just a little energy and effort to take us the rest of the way. That can't be right. I don't think so. No, but what of it? We don't know the background of this particular Jesus fangirl beyond her ailment and her belief that he has miraculous healing power, a power that requires at least a modicum of physical touch. Does she even know his name? Who knows how much more she might know about the man inhabiting that cloak? But whatever it is enough. She roots for laundry, for the brush of a hem of it to be sufficient. Now, it's not the same as rooting for whoever wears the number 25 jersey for the Seahawks now. That it is Jesus who inhabits that cloak makes all the difference. But does she know that? Does she need to know that? What is she required to understand about him for this to work? Jesus could have said, "The power of this cloak that exists only because I am wearing it has healed you. So good for you." But he doesn't. And I wonder why. Perhaps it is tied in with what else he says to her when she is healed. "Take heart, daughter." She can go from that encounter with Jesus enheartened and with a faith that is uplifted. She cannot, however, hold on to that piece of cloth forever as if it could be her everlasting good luck charm. Faith is something we do not earn. I believe it is indeed a gift from God. And we get some leeway over what we choose to do with that gift. It is entrusted to us in the hope that we indeed utilize it in ways that give glory to God. For most of us, a live interview broadcast into millions of homes is not going to be one of those ways. But there are certainly other ways. If faith is a gift that we can take with us wherever we go into any situation, we can trust by way of the Spirit that we can and will know what to do when we are faced with possibilities, with opportunities. If faith is a gift, we can know that it is truly our own. It cannot be taken from you or from me, nor for anyone's selfish gain. It is ours to keep. It is ours with which we have been entrusted. It is unique to each of us, and yet we will find ourselves drawn to others with similar gifts that look very much like our own and be enlivened when we share, each of us, our gift of faith with one another. And when we let others see this gift from God that we gladly possess and which they may not be aware they are able to receive as a gift of faith to call their own. God bless those of our siblings in faith who get to display that talent among others. Talents that millions, sometimes even billions, are compelled by. But for a more modest gift, faith that maybe is questionable just how well it measures up against even a tiny mustard seed, may it too be blessed, nourished, honored and recognized, and give God thanks too for that gift. Amen.
Amen.